It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Such a great day to study God's Word. We have just finished with Numbers chapter 21. We went through the brass serpent there, and we're going to be over in looking a little bit here at Numbers chapter 26, at the 27 and 26 and those regions and area there. So please just open your Bibles first to chapter 26. We're going to read verse 51, and then we're going to go to Numbers chapter 27 and read verses 12 through 23. And so that'll prepare you for the study today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. And if you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to prepare for the study. And again, we will look at Numbers chapter 26, verse 51. Numbers chapter 26, verse 51. It's kind of a strange place, but we'll build up to it. These were the numbered of the children of Israel, 600,000 and 1,730. Now move on to chapter 27, and we're going to the 12th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up unto this mount, Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. And we're going to end the reading there. And we'll begin with prayer today. Father, it's such a joy to come and to enjoy this time and studying this time. Please that you help us to understand and to enjoy the study of your precious word. It's just a privilege that we have to come and to enjoy your word, the teaching of your word. And so please just guide and lead us today as we enjoy this study. We're looking at the numbers. We're in the book of Numbers, so we're looking at numbers. And so please just guide and lead us. Touch our hearts that each one of us will have witnessed your presence today. That we know that you are our Savior, that you have paid the debt of sin for us. Know that we have invited you into our hearts to receive that free gift of salvation that you offer. And then realize that we are to serve you and to praise you, to honor you and to glorify you in all that we do. So please, dear Lord, today, just lead us. Bring us to salvation, and then bring us on to service that we may be a blessing and an honor to you in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these words and enjoy these parts here, why, I just want you to take your time, and we're going to look at the numbers today. As we look at these numbers, we need to see something that's kind of interesting. And if we go back now to Numbers chapter 1, Numbers chapter 1, and I'm turning back there, verse 46. Numbers chapter 1, verse 46. And even all they that were numbered were 600,000, 3,550. Now, that is the beginning. They have numbered the 12 tribes. These are all 20 years old and upward, excluding the Levites. They were not counted because these are men that were to prepare for war. They were capable and able to go to war. And the number, again, if you would like to jot it down, is 600,000. and 3,550. So 603,550 was the number that started. Now, we have enjoyed this study all through the book of Numbers. We're clear back here into this 26th chapter of the book of Numbers, and we have witnessed so many times of rebellion and Moses stepping in on the behalf of the people, saving the people, and we just can't hardly number the and look to all the things that has taken place during this time. And so, but we have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. It's been a wonderful experience to study through here and just kind of take a survey of this book of Numbers. But during this time, from the time back here in Numbers chapter 1 to Numbers chapter 26, you need to realize that 38 and a half years have passed. And during that 38 and a half years, every person over the age of 20 years old and upward has died, except Caleb and Joshua. Now, Moses is still alive, but they haven't entered the promised land yet. But we're at the end of this 40-year period that we talk about all the time. And the travel from the time that they said no until they have meandered through the wilderness was 38 and a half years. So from the time God made the decree that every person, because of their disobedience, you will not see the promised land. So what has happened here is that all these people somewhere in the range, you know, we got the number 603,550, but that is only people from 20 years old and upward, males, able and capable to go to war. So we have the wives, we have the elderly, we have the young. And so that number, instead of being 603,000, is probably somewhere between 1.5 to 2.5 million people. And so that's the total number. And so if we just take the 603,000 and take only their wives, and if we just include those, now we're up to almost 1.5 million people, 1,200,000, 1,300,000 that have died from Numbers chapter 1 to Numbers chapter 26. But God chooses, so all those have died in the wilderness. You see, that's what happens, and it can happen to you. In the prayer when we started, I said, you know, we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the cross of Calvary and be saved, call upon Him, trusting, accept that free gift and trust in Him. That's what we're to do. Now, if we do that, if we trust in Him and do that, then it's time to serve Him. Now, the picture that we have here, and we've been through it several times, but maybe you're a newcomer to the program. What has happened here, when the people followed Moses, followed the Shekinah glory cloud, and Moses was listening to God and leading the people, they came through the Red Sea. That was a picture of their salvation. They left the world and they were on their way to the promised land and they were to meet God. And that's what happened when they came through that Red Sea. They left the world. Now that's exactly what we're to do the day we get saved, born again. So that was a picture of salvation, coming through that Red Sea on dry ground, if you remember right. And then the waters fell back in and killed all the Pharaoh and his men and the chariots and the horses and all that. They found washed up on the sea the next morning on the shore. And so you see, that's a picture of salvation to the nation of Israel, because they have been taken from the world and they have followed after God, and now here they are at Mount Sinai. Well, they get the law, Ten Commandments and all the law. They got the plans to the tabernacle. All that was taken care of, and they stayed there for a year. And so, you know, we can go back through and, you know, from the time we got to all the book of Exodus and all the book of Leviticus is in that one location, you know, from the time they arrived in Exodus all through the rest of the book and all the way through the book of Leviticus is all at that place. They never have moved. Now, the book of Numbers is when they counted and begin this wonderful journey. Well, this journey was short. They just went from Sinai all the way up to Kadesh Barnea, and then they sent the spies in. They sent the spies in, and upon doing that, of course, what we have is their disobedience. They listen to the majority. You know, when it comes to serving God, it's not good to listen to the majority. You serve God. Always follow God. When God says, take it, Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies. They said, take it. And God honored their faithfulness, and they said, there is only two that's going to get to go into the promised land. Now, I wonder what Aaron, Miriam, and Moses thought when, because they were way over this age of 20 years old. And so I wonder if they wondered, you know, why, God, are you not going to let me see the promised land? But we find now that he said 20 years old and upward would die. So we have the number here of 603,550 in Numbers chapter 1. Now as we go to Numbers chapter 26, let's see how close this number compares when they number the people, the men, 20 years old and upward, prepared for war. It would be the army. And they were renumbered here in Numbers 26, 51. And that number totals, and if you glance back through the earlier parts of the 26th chapter, you'll see Manasseh, Issachar, all Zebulun, Benjamin, all those, because they're numbered just like they were numbered before. And here's the total, 600,000 and 1,730. And so we have went from an army of 603,550 to 40 years later, the young men that were 20, everybody's dead. Everybody's dead from 20 years old and upward except Caleb, Joshua, and Moses. And Moses is about to die. That's all that's left. Miriam's dead. Aaron's dead. We went through quite an experience here in this last 40 years or 38 and a half years. And now in Numbers chapter 26, verse 51, we have 601,730. That's a difference of 1,820 soldiers. So we have had 1 million and probably 1.5 million people have died in that 40-year journey, at least. But when God numbers, you see, he's going to go in and take the promised land. He has the same size army 40 years later. The sad thing is, from the beginning of Numbers to this place that we're at in chapter 26, there are 1.5 million people that never got to see the promised land. They spent all of their life in the wilderness and died in the wilderness. That's exactly what's going to happen to you if you don't go to the Word of God and serve God the way He has you to do by His Word, not by any other book, not by any other thing, but by His book, His living Word. And so please look to it, learn it, study it. Let the Spirit of God teach you, and only can that be done if you are born again. So please ask Jesus to come into your heart today and to begin. Don't be a part of this 1.5 million people that died in the wilderness and never even got to see. Only 10 of those people that died saw the promises and the beauty and the fruitfulness of the land of Canaan. The rest of them never even got to see it. What a sad, sad day. And so I want you to see that. I want you to be aware that there's a cost to be made. This world is not our home. But God will comfort us, will strengthen us, will give us His blessings. And I'm not talking necessarily financially. The nation of Israel was promised financial gain. The nation of Israel was promised health. We're not promised either one. But what we are given is God's blessing, and a greater blessing than wealth or health, either one. And that is God's peace and God's joy. You see, we can have the promised land right here. And it's not heaven. Don't think for a minute that this picture here is about the world and then heaven. No, Israel came out of the world when they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. From that time on, now they're just traveling through, and they could have latched on and gained these promises of God and enjoyed those, but instead of that, they were disobedient. What a sad, sad day. Now, we come, and I just wanted to show you those numbers, how close they were, that God has the same size army when he's going to go in and take this land. He has probably very little experience again as before, but you see, it doesn't matter. Because when God calls you to do something, he will give you all the tools, all that's necessary to have the victory. And so, please, but you've got to follow his word. And most today are not doing that. Most today are following their own way, and the means justifies the end. Okay, if we do this, why then these many people are going to come, and they'll get saved, and then, boy, that'll be great. My friend, go to the word of God, and you'll find that most of the teaching in most of our churches today is contrary to the word of God. And most of the people sitting there do not know it. They're walking on emotions and not the walking each day serving the Lord. We're to serve him in season and out of season. And basically what that means is whether you feel like it or not. But it's a feel-good religion that we have today. My Bible doesn't teach that. My God doesn't teach that. And so please, I serve him whether I feel like it or not. And I want you to do the same. Walk each and every day. So those numbers was kind of interesting. 1,820 people difference as far as men of war. And so we're about to enter into the promised land. But before we do that, we run into this man called Moses. And Moses here is not going to get to go in either. Now, it wasn't because he was disobedient in not wanting to go into the land like the rest. And again, Caleb and Joshua are still among us. But what it is that he did something, and if you remember right, you know, the last thing we looked at was the serpent. But prior to that, we looked at Moses striking the rock. Now, he was to strike the rock the first time. There was two different instances. The first time he was to strike the rock, because that pictured the crucifixion, the death and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the second time, Jesus only dies on the cross once. Only once. And so he is not on that cross. You know, a lot of people have those crosses that have an image of a man still hanging on it. Please take that off. That's being very disrespectful to God, because that doesn't honor him in any way. That's a dishonor to think that he is still on the cross. Think, no, it just reminds me of what he has done for me. If you know him, you have went from the cross to glory, and you fellowship with your God through the Holy Spirit, through the Son of God, to God the Father, because God the Son is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. And so he's no longer on that cross. That was done 2,000 years ago, and that is never to be repeated again. And so please remember that and look to those precious words. But we have Caleb and Joshua were faithful. Moses, again, struck the rock the second time. And God's grace is sufficient. He was to speak, and that's the way we're to do. Jesus was crucified once and only once. Now we're to speak unto him and pray unto him and call upon him. And that's what Moses was supposed to do. But instead of that, he struck the rock. And again, for all the anger and everything that was caused by these people, it is very understandable that can be, because you only just take so much till you finally blow your top, and that's what Moses kind of did, but it cost him, and it'll cost us too when we do that. And so please that you will listen to the word of God and follow his instructions. Moses did a great work, but he failed. He failed in something that was so important that God didn't let him go in. and here we are. Numbers chapter 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee up unto this mount, Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against me, against my commandments, in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. If you wondered if I was not didn't know what I was talking about, what cost Moses the entrance into the promised land, that should have taken care of it right there in verse 14 of chapter 27. There should be no question in your mind right now what happened. And so Moses was able to see it, but he was not able to enter in to that rest. He had to go through, because of the disobedience of the people, and you know, that happens many times to folks within the church. And that's kind of what's happening right now with our land and with our country. We are becoming so ungodly that there's a strong possibility that God is going to bring His judgment upon this land because we have forsaken Him. And if we forsake Israel, I don't think there's any way we can cease to exist. So we need to support Israel with all of our might and all of our strength. If we support no one else, if we help no one else, if we're to the condition, financial condition, that we can help no one but Israel, we have to stand with Israel. You need to know that. There's no question about it. Because with the babies that we have murdered through abortion, there is no way, and with the neglect and ignorance of man and pulling away from the presence of God, there is no way that God would still have us here if it not be for our support of His people, Israel. It's not because we're such a good, godly nation, because we're not. Now, Moses was held accountable for what he did. There is one cross, and that cross is taken care of. And now we're to speak unto him, but we need to come by faith to him and call upon him. And we find here that Moses, because of his actions, was not allowed to go into this place of rest. But my friend, even if something happens to this land, I can still possess the rest, because I have come in to know him, to trust him, to walk after him, to serve him. And no matter where I am, I can serve him. It may have to be underground as I would teach someone the word of God. But that's the reason we love the radio ministry that we have, because we have such an opportunity to get the word out. Moses did not have a chance. Moses could not go in because of what he had done. He did get to see it. He got to witness it. Now Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. You see, Moses could have just begged and begged and pleaded and pleaded and says, Oh God, look at what I have done. Look at what I have put up with. I have begged you for these people. Why aren't you, you know, one little mistake, why aren't you going to let me go in? He didn't do that at all, because you see, he knows the word of God. He trusts the word of God. He had pleaded for the people of Israel time after time and saved them. And yet, he did not call himself here. He did not say, Oh God, please have mercy upon him. Let me go in. Now, there is a time, because on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember, Moses is present there, so Moses did get to go into the land, but was with his glorified body, not with this old worn-out body that's some And we have 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. So we're 120 years old here. And so Moses, I'm sure, is very tired. But he speaks to God, but not pleading with him to go into the promised land. He speaks to God, says, these people need a leader. They need somebody to lead them. Set a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord is not as sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord said to Moses, you see, God had no intention of leaving the nation of Israel abandoned. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Lay thy hand upon him and set him before the high priest. Now, what happened to our high priest here? Because we find that it's not Aaron any longer, is it? Remember, Aaron died. God's going to replace Moses. God's replaced Aaron. God will replace me. Every time that one, if their life is over, God will put somebody in my place to continue this ministry, to continue to further the gospel, to continue to take it out. God has his remnant. He will forever have his remnant. And it is just a remnant. It's just a small number because the basic part of the world don't want to believe. But here is Eleazar, and if that's pronounced differently, why, that's probably right. But as we look here, we find who has taken Aaron's place. Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Who did we say would be able to go in? Joshua and Caleb are the only two, upon the death of Moses, are the only two that are over the age of 20. So the age of Joshua here, he is older. Him and Caleb are older than anybody else that's there. Now, they're not just 20 years old and up now, remember, because 40 years has passed, or 38 and a half years. And so, you know, those that were 20 or 19 at the time, see, they're getting up into the age of 60 now. And so, how old is Joshua and Caleb? God places Joshua in his place. And as always, we run out of time so quickly. But this Urim, you know, they have the Urim and the Thurim in the front pocket of the high priest. And if it's a decision that's not clearly through God's word, then God would use those things to determine the truth and determine which way to go. And so Moses, Joshua, now the leader, and Eleazar, the high priest, were as Aaron and Moses to lead the people in. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now, we're going to stop right there, and then we'll finish with the death of Moses next time we come together. And we are getting very close to enjoying this book of Joshua that we're heading for. And this is the man now, a man that made a good choice to go in and take the promised land, but majority ruled. And so you see now we have this man. He has become the head, the leader. What a day. We're going to talk about this decision next time. You know, it's wonderful to study the Word of God, but you have to come by faith to Jesus. Trust Him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?